Down in my heart, there's the nature of the Father. Down in my heart, there's the Spirit of the Lord. Down in my heart, the love of God. Is fully down in my heart, there's the nature of the Father. Down in my heart, there's the Spirit of the Lord. Down in my heart, the love of God is fully shared around, and in His name I'll do what He's called me to do. Amen. Down in our hearts, there's the nature of the Father. Down in our hearts, there's the Spirit of the Lord. Down in our hearts, the love of God is fully shed in our hearts, and in His name we're doing what He's called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Could you mute your microphones? Let's get on into the teaching of God's word shortly before we leave. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, actually. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 13. We're going to be looking at this very carefully. We started off this on Sunday, and we're going to be paying attention to God's love in and amongst us. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of them is love. Amplified version. And now there remains faith, thus abiding trust in God and His promises, hope, confident expectation of His eternal salvation, love, and selfish love for others, growing out of God's love for me. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. And we got to understand that there are several kinds of love, you know, including parental love for children, you know, of one's own flesh and blood, you know, the love that longs and yearns for the opposite sex, you know, a sort of fraternal kind of love, which gives us joy when we fellowship with our dear friends, and human love, which can by no means be compared to the love of God. You know, oftentimes parental love will be limited to children, right? The love a mother has for her daughter and the love a father has for his son. But you'll be very amazed that if Ambrose attacked you and your dad, he would run away, and it is when he is safe that he will remember that, hey, where is my 27-year-old child? Because once they shot the gun, everybody scattered in the bush. You see, when there is now safe, he will now say, Jesus, my son, Where is my son? Please, let's go to the police station. My son is caught. Right? Let an earthquake happen right now. You see something. Earthquake. Let it happen right now. You see that, Charlie? Everybody is finding under the bed. You see that? Before the daddy can tell the parents, hey, jump. He's already under the bed. And before the son can say, daddy, please jump under. They are already under the bed. They are all making sure that, you know, there is actually nothing that hurts them. So oftentimes, we might try to make assumptions of how much we love, right? But it will not measure up to this kind of love that we're going to be paying attention to. You know, even the friends or the love that you share, you know, between friends or the love that friends share, it will falter if one never receives anything in return for care and concern. So when you have two friends that are working together, you know, one is always doing something. Before you realize, the one who is always doing something gets angry and says, why are you always the one receiving all there is to receive? Why are you that fellow that has to always be the one getting all the attention? From today, once I give, you don't give back. The friendship is over. Right? So you oftentimes will realize that even the love between friends will falter if one person is always the one giving and nobody else receiving, right? But you see, this God kind of love that we are dealing with is very different, right? The Greeks actually, you know, define this kind of love as, you know, love that is wholly sacrificing. Love that is wholly sacrificing. So this kind of love will always find itself one way, some way, somehow sacrificing, right? It's the God kind of love we are talking about. Before we go into the scriptures, or before we start looking at various writings in Paul's epistles on what love is, one of the things I want to assure you, and I want to encourage you to go in wholeheartedly for, is what we're going to be discussing this whole weekend about, right? It is the greatest thing any man can walk in. I told you this on Sunday. It is the greatest thing you can ever desire to have, right? Or is the greatest thing you can ever desire to walk in every single day of your life, every single season of your life, are seasons where you dispense out God's love, right? And we said that anybody who walks in this kind of love, the world will know that they are truly born again and sons of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is actually going to be that scripture we're going to be dwelling a lot more on. But I just want to draw some, you know, inspiration from what Paul is trying to help us see, even from chapter 12 to chapter 13. So the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians actually begins with the chapter 12. All right. So we said that Paul was talking in the chapter 12 about the various gifts of the Holy Spirit. So he lays emphasis on tongues. He lays emphasis on prophecies. He lays emphasis on miracles. He lays emphasis on healings. He lays emphasis on tongues, diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, right? He lays emphasis on all of these things. But, you know, right on into chapter 13, Paul makes us understand that there is something that supersedes what he wrote in his previous chapter. So in chapter 12, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Then he says that earnestly covet the best gifts. In chapter 12, he's actually telling you, earnestly covet the best gifts. He's saying, earnestly covet the best gifts. Now, the best gifts, oftentimes, he writes and he says that, desire that ye may prophesy. But the best gifts, oftentimes, will be the gift that suits the situation that you find yourself. Because if you meet somebody who is sick in a wheelchair, you will not need tongues at that very onset. You just might need a miracle, right? But Paul is saying, earnestly covet the best gifts. Then he comes in chapter 13 and he says, I mean, right there in chapter 12, he's still saying, I will show you a more excellent way, right? It means that there is a better way than even having the gifts of healing or being able to work a certain kind of miracle or speaking in tongues or whatever kind of a gift. There is something even better, something superior, right? So as we enter into this 13th chapter, we enter into what exactly Paul is saying, or what exactly Paul refers to as that excellent way than the gifts of the Spirit. So in the first few chapters of verse 13, he shows to us what this, you know, superior gift is. And then he says that that's the love gift. It's the greatest kind of gift. It's the excellent way. It's that way that's better off than all of the gifts he had mentioned in chapter 12. And that's why he just continues and he says, if though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, we said charity there, you know, is not the word charity, dictionary charity meaning. It's love. It's actually agape. It's actually brotherly love, God kind of love, right? So though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am becoming as a sounding brass or as a tingling cymbal. So Paul is making us understand that if we are going to say we are walking in love, it supersedes any kind of a gift. However, if we say we're not going to be walking in love, yet we're going to be prophesying, he says we are just noisemakers and people walking around. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, you can prophesy. You can understand the mysteries of everything that's written in the Word of God. But if you do not have this kind of a love, he says that you are as a sounding brass, a tingling cymbal. If you have all the faith, I'll come back to these three scriptures because I'll lay emphasis on them. If you have all the faith, and you could move mountains and have not this kind of love, he said, you are just nothing. If you could bestow all your goods to feed the poor, and though you have your body bent and have not this kind of love, there is nothing that it profits you. So, we must come to recognize this, right? We must come to recognize this. And we're going to be looking exactly what this love is, because oftentimes the language is limited, right? If you want to say, oh, I love my wife. I'm a preprinsa. And at that point, you might be expressing some deep feelings for your wife. So you're using the word love to describe the feeling you have towards her. Then you say, oh, I love Fufu. I just love Fufu. Fufu and what soup? Fufu and light soup. Oh my goodness. I love Fufu and light soup. I was speaking to someone yesterday and she was telling me, that's my best chocolate. I love it. Right? Can't remember if you said I love it, but she says, it's my best. So she's trying to tell me in literally terms that I love this chocolate. Right? So, You're also trying to tell me what I feel towards chocolate is love. Right? So, we might want to understand, when we say we love somebody, what is God trying to help us see? And what are those elements that are involved with that love that we say we have? So oftentimes, you know, the English word is quite limited. There's filio, there's stegio, agape, eros. And yet all of these kinds of love are on a very different level. Now that means it just might be more appropriate to say, I have great eros for fufu and light soup. Because eros is an era of the flesh. And that's surely like the area of fufu and light soup. Oh, I think I have great filio for my wife. Right? But this kind of love is the word agape. And that's what we're going to lay emphasis on. So in verse 13, we're going to look at our first meaning of the word love. When God says love, what is he expecting of you? And what is he expecting of me? First Corinthians 13 verse 4. Charity. I said not the dictionary word charity, right? So we can say it's the word love. God's giving kind of love is actually the direct translation of agape, right? Suffereth long. Love suffereth long. He's talking about the God kind of love, the giving kind of love. It suffereth long. Now don't forget, in the previous verses, he's saying that that thing called love, which is God's kind of love, it is superior to the gifts of the Spirit. So if you have all of it and you don't have love, your speaking becomes totally meaningless and is noise. If you have the gift of prophecy, you understand all mysteries and all knowledge. You have deep spiritual insights that you understand those little interpretations of the scriptures, the various cryptic messages that God is trying to give to us. If you don't have this thing, you are also nothing. If you have all the faith, oftentimes we are wishing for more faith. But he's now saying, now you have all the type, the kind of faith that you have. Now you remember Jesus says, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could remove a mountain. You could say to the mountain to move and it'll move. Now he's saying, you don't have just little faith. You have all. All. It means you can literally stand and open blind eyes. He says, if you don't have this thing, you're nothing. So, love is superior. Even if you wanted to give yourself to be sacrificed, and it was not done with the motive of that giving kind of love, he says it profits you nothing. superior to sacrifice. Now, Paul is doing us a favor, and he defines for us what this love is. And then he now comes and he says that when I say love, obviously God's Spirit is the one inspiring Paul's heart to write to us. So we can almost say God is telling us his mind of love is that it suffereth long. It suffereth long. Before we get on into it, we realize on Sunday, Galatians 5:22, where we said that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then to define what love is, he says it's joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, temperance, meekness. So long-suffering is one of the characteristics. It's one of the marks of this kind of love. So the fruit of the Spirit, that one fruit is one fruit. It's just love. Love is that fruit of the Spirit. Is that when the Holy Spirit comes into the life of the believer, he brings that fruit. And then in that fruit are all of those attributes of that one fruit. And he says the first one is that it suffereth long. You know what suffered long is? It's not to lose heart. It's the Greek word makrothymio. It means not to lose heart. To be long in the Spirit. Right? It's to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries and weaknesses of other people. So you hear many people say, oh, you know, I have the love of God. But the least thing you do to them, they'll say, you see, that's what I've been talking about. When you do something to myself, that God kind of love is not loose in its nature. It means that it is patient. So you're not going to be losing heart on things that people do for you. If many marriages today would learn to suffer long is the word patience, not to lose heart, we're going to have very few divorce cases, or probably no divorce cases. So it has that tendency. You know what it means not to lose heart? It means you are very determined on getting what you are looking for. You don't just easily say, you know, I've been working with you for just a few months, but you are just very silly. And I've told you this and spoken to you about this countless times, and you seem not to do it. So from today, I hate you. When you see me anywhere, pass to the left, I'll pass to the right. No. You know, brethren, I already told you, we have all the tendencies to accommodate anyone and to live with anyone because of that love that's shed abroad in our hearts. I'm going to be showing you the subsequent days. You'll be shocked as to what you get to realize about God's kind of love. But for what we have now, he says, it suffereth long. It's patient. That means you're able to put up with offenses countless times without just losing out your elasticity limit. It's like you are just barrel that's able to cover in and cover in offenses without exploding in a way you shouldn't explode. That's that love that's shed abroad in your heart. That's that love shed abroad in your heart. That's that love shed abroad in your heart. See that? I was walking with this friend. Oh, but are you guys still friends? In fact, we are now enemies. That guy is not a wise person. Every time I'm doing this for him, I've told him this, I've done this. No, you are losing heart. God's kind of love does not lose heart this easily on people. It is mild. It is slow to avenging. That's not easily burst out. It can accommodate. It can keep it. It can hold people's wrongs without having to point hands at them. It's able to stay in a place for a while and endure hardship. So you're able to patiently endure in your homes. Today, not many people are able to patiently endure. They lose heart on the slightest thing anybody does to them. You patiently endure. Say, me, when you take my cup, it is at the left-hand side, 10 centimeters away from the table. It has to be 10 centimeters away from the table. It has to be 10 centimeters away from the table. Yes. Who will move my slippers from here? Who will move my slippers from here? Please, come and put it back. Please, put the slippers back. Please, I don't want to have any trouble with you. Put your slippers back. The person comes to put the slippers. My towel was folded here. I don't know who has come to move my. I didn't cry and mutate my brabo, sir. That's not somebody that knows how to endure in a while. But that God kind of love is able to accommodate without blowing up. Is able to stay at a place for a while without bursting out. And I repeat, that same love is shed abroad in our hearts. So whenever you see yourself endure something, while you pray about it, or while you find out ways in your mind of the best way to go about it. Listen, oftentimes it's not just about exploding. You need to find out what's best for me to do in this situation. What's the best thing to do? And don't always follow your emotions. Because oftentimes your emotions are not what the Spirit of God wants you to do. Often, very few times, emotions the Spirit wants you to do. That's when you are totally yielded to His Spirit. But oftentimes when you're in the flesh, your emotions are not that. Oh, why is He doing this to me? What? You see, that's your emotions. But have a way of harnessing those emotions. You can harness them. There's a way that you harness your emotions. I mean, there are many things that people do to me. Even disciples. And if I'm to go according to how I feel in my heart, you will never like me and you will never forget what I'll say to you. And you will never forget how I would make your life very miserable. But oftentimes I'm finding out what's best to do in this situation. How should I address this matter? Should I just burst out or I should be a bit calmer? Because oftentimes when you're even dealing with people and people see you as someone they can talk to, I mean, if they come to you and you end up beating them and slapping them with your words and, you know, telling them they should become like this, right? You don't end up helping them. Now, there's place and room for that, but it's not always you approach it that way. So, God's kind of love has that elasticity. It can keep things. You see, sometimes that's not necessarily mean you'll be happy about the situation. It just means that you will want yourself yielded to how God wants you addressing that situation. So that day where your friend removes your slippers from the room, that's not the time to react. In fact, that's always not the time to react. Right? There's certain times you must be praying about it, thinking about it, finding out what's the best means to, you know, adjust what we're doing. Any man who has God's love in his heart will learn and yield himself to doing this all the time. One of the stories that blessed my heart greatly, I started reading this book, you know, and that Kenneth Hagin shares a story about a pastor had gone to, who had left the church he was coming to pastor. And he still went in the church and was sowing discord amongst the people and collecting things from them and telling them that he's supposed to still be the pastor right there at the place. And then, you know, Brother Kenneth Hagin, talking about that, Kenneth Hagin gets to hear about this. And, you know, he's just quiet and he's watching the guy. And he's going around and just preaching and teaching what he has to teach. So one of the days, he realized that the guy was going to put up a home. And he could do these paintings in the rooms. So he walks up to the guy and says that, I'm going to do this painting for you. Right? And then the guy says, okay, how much are you going to take? And he says, I'm going to do it for you for free. So when he said, I'm going to do it for you for free, the man and his wife, upon hearing that, started crying. They just started crying. So he was asking them, like, why are you crying? And then they started confessing. They said, we have done you so much wrong. We have done you so much wrong. We have done you so much wrong. We have literally destroyed what you were trying to build. And you know, from there, you know, he's very blatant. I mean, when you give him the chance, he's very, very plain. And then again, it's very, very plain. So you ask him, didn't you know that's what you were doing and that's what was wrong? And then he restores them. And asks them to come back to the church and preach while he was still pastor. So you see, God's kind of love has a way of entertaining. It's like, you know how to put up with it till the time you need to address that matter like mature adults. You sit down and you have a very firm, clear conversation. So it's not every time that you will jump out. So, hey, no, every time is not that time. So you are able to put up and put up and put up and put up. Now that putting up is not putting up and murmuring. Let me make that very clear. God's kind of love, while it's patient, is not patient in murmuring. It's not like, this person, you don't know what's happening. If you knew I was coming to you, you know that, yes, I'm just waiting for the right time. No, no. It's actually accommodating, and it can soak in until the time where it finds out the right way, the best way to address that situation. Sometimes even in discipleships, there's this disciple who keeps on not doing what they are supposed to do. It's not every time you just best out. Listen to me, people of God. You can put up with anything that anybody does to you. Say that to yourself. I can put up with anything that anybody does to me. Say that to yourself. Say, I can put up with anything that anybody does to me. You can put up with it. Say, hey, as for me, hey, I can't take this nonsense, oh. I can't take this nonsense. It's just, hey, the way I was boiling to address this issue. Hey, if it was me, pa, this person came to me and did this to me, the person would have regretted. Say, I swear my father can't do. This person, I would have shown this person, hey, is you people that you can accept this nonsense? It's totally nonsense. Nonsense. No, the God kind of love has enough room to put up with anything, to put up with man's inadequacies, to put up with man's weaknesses, to put up with man's frailties. God's kind of love has the strength to accommodate this. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But oftentimes I'm really amazed that God is able to put up with me. I'm serious. Sometimes the more you grow in your faith with the Lord, the more you realize how patient He is with you. Because the rules become sterner as you go with Him. It's like it becomes more some way when you are growing up with Him. And when you are still a child, you don't really care. But when you are, it's like it becomes, the thing becomes more straight and forward than laid back and wanting to do what you want to do. And you say, God, thank you for putting up with me. Thank you. So it's with that same understanding of how He is able to put up with you that you just take that same thing and you do for somebody else. So you see, love can put up with this. God's kind of love in my heart can get along with this. God's love in our heart does this. It is long suffering. It is patient. It can endure. It can. God's love in our heart can endure things, can endure insults. One of the times quite recently, I remember, after Zelo bootcamp, that Sunday, I went to work in the afternoon, and I went out, and then I came back again, and I said, I was just coming to, and then I met this customer right in the pharmacy. The moment I entered, I think she was having a digression with somebody else. So I just said, oh, I was just talking under breath. I was like, oh, what is happening? And before he could realize, I don't have any knowledge about whatever is going on. I don't know anything of what's happening. The woman turns the whole thing and she brings a fight, a literal fight to me. And she's saying her mind to me. Now, that's something that I want you to know. I don't know her from any place. I've not spoken to her before. I don't even know what is happening in the place. And she turns the whole thing. She brings the whole thing to me. Then out of the blue, I want to kill her. Yeah, that's an interesting case. I want to kill her. So in my mind, I was going to react. No, let me just pause. And then I think it was God ministering to me from then. Yeah. So she started talking in my direction, pointing hands at me. I met you from any place. And then all I just did was to be quiet and calm. So I listened to all she wanted to say. But while I was listening to her, the Lord just said, where are you coming from? I said, Zello Boot Camp. He says, these are reactions you'll be expecting. You should be expecting. Because the enemy is going to come after you. So I said, oh, is that a reason? He says, yes, that's the reason. She later on releases words. I'm telling you are going to die. She's telling me, I don't know what's going on. I mean, that's why sometimes when people persecute men of God, you have no idea. Sometimes it's just the devil. It's just the devil. It's just spelled out devil. But you see, when the people are not taught to identify, you will go against your man of God and say, your man of God, I think I even observed something like that. You are telling lies. So I was quiet. She said everything she wanted. I never said one word. For the time where she started getting very personal, I almost wanted to just start speaking in tongues and I'll say, hey, my tummy, why curse you? All those words are falling right on your head. I almost said, hey, are you now bringing spirit? Let me meet you from that side. But I said, no, let me just be quiet. I just said, let me be quiet. So I was just quiet. She was pouring out. I was quiet. Until she left, I never said anything. That's what happened. So you have that ability to keep. Many women do not have that ability to keep the nonsense of their husbands. That's why they just pick their belongings and they say, hey, this marriage, it's a foolish thing. The man says, hey, it's a foolish thing. He says, you too, you are a foolish woman. He says, hey, you're insulting me. You are a very stupid, useless man. It's a man who doesn't bath. The man says, you are insulting me. Hey, you. Don't let me talk about you. You are a very, you don't go to work. You don't do anything. You don't bring any money home. You are. So, okay, you are going away, which I'm going out. And then the whole place just splits off. But if one could just hold on a bit and just keep it a bit, you'd realize there'll be peace in that home. I'm almost certain that your life is going to change for the good after you hear these words come to you. So God's kind of love, right, is not one that says, I've taken enough of this. That's the end of that period of things. It's the end of this. No. I've taken enough of this. I've taken enough of this. I'm going to do something about this. Oftentimes you're speaking in a very powerful and a revengeful way. That isn't agape. God's kind of love, it's that I have taken and taken and taken. Oh, poor soul. God help him. Because you are the one walking in God's will at that point. He's the one not. So if there's anybody who needs God's help, it should be him. The one that's offending you. He's the one that needs God's help, not you. So you say, I've taken. I pray the Lord helps him to see. So God's kind of love is this. I've taken. I'm trusting God to help him. I'm trusting God to meet her. I'm trusting God to help her see that what she's doing is wrong. In the subsequent days, I'm going to talk about confrontation. We're going to have confrontations. There are times where you confront. It's not every time you confront. It's not every time you confront. Because you don't use the same approach every time. It doesn't work every time. So, long-suffering and it's kind. Right? The word "end" is kai. It's long-suffering. And at the end of it is that it is kind. It is kind after it has long-suffered. God's kind of love is kind after it has had so many punches on its face. Says, yes, brother, it's okay. It's okay, let's walk together. Or maybe we might not walk together any longer, but I still see you and see you as my brother. You are my brother. You are my friend. And when we do these things, we will realize fruitfulness in our walk with the Lord. So from today, start to practice patience, the ability to bear things, the ability to hold things without exploding. The ability to accommodate and still understand them. And at the end of all of these is that you're able to be kind in and after it. Don't mama. This person, if I get a person, I'll show this person. Hey, don't worry. I'm just keeping quiet for a reason. When I blast that they do believe that, yes, we are. It's able to accommodate. And while doing this, it does this kindly. And at the end of it, there's kindness at the end of it. I'll show you. No, God's love is able to put up with others. Start learning this. Be able to put up with others. Look around you, your friends, your family. Sometimes it could be even your parents. No. God's kind of love. We're not talking about your kind of love. We're talking about God's kind of love. God's giving kind of love is that it's able to put up with people. It's able to be patient with people. He's able to be patient with people. He's able to see people and say, I can be patient with you. And I will be patient with you. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go about it. In patience. I'm going to give you just some time of paying attention to what's going on. Not explode suddenly. I have a control over my emotions. I don't blast out. I don't burst out. I don't respond suddenly based on how I feel or an emotion. I'm able to put up with people. I'm able to put up with people. I'm able to stay with anyone. I can, because God's kind of love in my heart enables me to do this. I'll not destroy him. Yes, I won't destroy him. But I'll put up with him. Until that time is right where there is that need. Until that time is right, where is that opportune time for me to address? I will have patience while I look out for the best way to solve what is supposed to be solved. It's God's kind of love. You're putting up with people. You know, from this day onwards, as you stay on this, and as you think on this, and as you meditate on this, and as you listen to it over and over again, you would realize a grace on you to be able to live with anyone, to be able to understand people, to be able to just flow with people. Yes, you will have that grace to be able to do this. Yeah, you will do that. You'll do that. You will not burn again in your heart. He said, I'm angry. I'm angry at what he did. He should come and apologize. No, you're able to put up with people. Men's inadequacies, men's frailties, men's weaknesses. Sometimes we can clearly see that this thing is a weakness. We can clearly see this thing is a weakness. The believer is able to be patient in those. While patient in those, he's kindly patient. He's not murmuring. He's not talking. He's not even bursting out in rage or fury. It's that he's patient in all of those. God's kind of love in our hearts does this to us. Father, we thank you for tonight. And we thank you for this opportunity to walk in love. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're practicing these things that we hear and that we learn. Tomorrow and beyond are going to be fruitful sessions in our love walks. It's like we're going to just be dispensing love all around. Listen to me. Whenever you make yourself a love being, you're going to have more opportunities to discredit that thing. It's like there's somebody who will just come your way. No, those are tests, all right? They are not tests from God to cause you to fail, right? They are tests so you can know whether you are actually strong in those things. So you start out. Pass out those tests, right? Say, I can accommodate you. I can accommodate you. I can understand what you're doing. You know, all of those tests are there to ascertain how weighty you have become at what you said you will do. And when you fail, that's not the time to beat yourself. It's the time to say, I will get it right the second time. And you start building again. And you start building again, keeping your mind on God's word, keeping your heart on God's word. You say, I'm able to put up with so-so and so-fellow. I'm able to put up with so-so and so-fellow. I'm able to do this. I'm able to do that. I'm able to understand him. You know, that time where he treats me badly, it's not that time where I react, or that time where I blow up in anger, or in that time where I blow up in fury, or in that time where I give him a certain word where he will never forget. No, it's that I'm patient in that. I'm looking for the best way, finding out the best opportunity. I'm going about it the best way that I can. God's love shed abroad in our hearts encourages us and teaches us to suffer long. And while we suffer long in our patience, we're able to understand and we are able to be kind to people in all those situations that we encounter. In Jesus' name, amen.